This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. Appreciate you joining us here. 1-888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. What are we talking about today? My host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock's with me this morning also. So
give me a second, I'll tell you.
You don't know. All right. Recommended services and needed services. Is that what we're talking about today? See, folks, I print out the show that I write each week. I email it to Kevin, and I don't know. He tries to keep it on his phone. I don't know how you read that off your phone. Getting a little older now.
I don't like reading it off the phone, but I do.
Because you never remember to print it out?
I could have sat here and looked up what we were going to do for the show, but instead we had a nice conversation, right?
We did. That's true. That's very true. So garden guys weren't in this morning. They must have been pre-recorded for some reason. We didn't have to do the quick exchange out of the studio. We got to sit down and relax and chat for a few minutes before we started up the show here. But we appreciate you joining us this morning as we are live. And we're happy to take all your automotive-related questions. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. But we are talking about services and that. And some good stuff for sure. Some other things. There's a lot in the automotive news going on. I picked up a lot of different articles this week that was really good stuff. That there was something we were talking about last week, I believe, or which has been an ongoing. We talk a lot about hybrids and electric cars, right? Because we're doing a lot of that. But something that came out. Remember we were talking about the keyless entry thing. I saw another bulletin come up for that also about putting things that are not, you know, like cheap chargers, like into cars. So another bulletin showed up about that. We talked about piston meltdown and that, which were some good things going on. Express vans not holding in park. There was a bulletin released about those. So all good stuff, you know, as far as that goes. Backfiring Mercedes 2016 Mercedes CLS 400 vehicles. 3.0 engine, popping noise from the engine on a cold start. It's a lean misfire on those bad boys. So,
yeah, I see more problems with the lean misfire, especially the more they try to control this fuel stuff. I mean, they got to run the cars leaner.
Well, because they try to run it leaner, exactly. So,
and you know what? Startup is honestly, that can affect your fuel mileage. I know it sounds weird, but starting the car up, and I mean as you're watching your mileage and how much gas you put in your tank. That does, you know, startups and stuff like that affect how much fuel your car is using.
Correct. Absolutely. For sure. And here's this caught my eye. It's an article that I picked up on that EVs outnumber public charging stations. The number of electric vehicles on the road quickly outpacing the amount of public charging points available to drivers, according to an article. By Bloomberg, the number of EVs on the road per public charging station rose from 7.4 at the end of 2020 to 9.2 globally. So, for every charging station out there that they have, there's 9.2 vehicles that need to use it, in other words.
You know,
last year, 6.6 million electric vehicles were sold across the globe. That was actually a record number for EVs.
Okay, this is when you go to the grocery store and you see those charging machines. Though, you have to pay to use those. All right.
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you this.
It's like going to the gas station, only it's for electric.
Well, okay, that's my question is how, because we were talking about, didn't we figure it out that, I don't know if it, I think we did it on the show. We figured it out. It wasn't that bad of charging your car at home. But my question is, what do you get charged when you go to one of those stations like that? I mean, how do they even,
how, oh, I don't
do
know.
They do it by minute,
it's
kilowatt?
By kilowatt hour, I think.
Okay.
So it's so many cents per kilowatt hour, I believe. So
and I'm sure they're making a decent profit
well,
on
yeah,
it,
right? There has to be some sort of measurement, just like you buy gasoline by the gallon.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think it's by kilowatt hour. So, but yes, no, they're not free.
Well, see, and you know,
free would be good. I'd go buy an electric car if I could just stop every parking lot and charge it up.
The tightness in me would be like, okay, look, I'd have to figure out my day so I can just charge it at home because I don't want to use my credit card.
Well, to be honest with you, if you got a rapid charger at home for one, although it's expensive, like I said, my good friend just bought one of the 85 Mercedes AMG electric, and he to put in his charging station for that thing, $4,000.
But how much am I going to use if I went to these other machines? Would it be? See, to me, I look at things like that and go, I'll spend the $4,000 at home.
Well, he's got solar.
I know.
So the electricity, he'd probably be saving the money afterwards.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. After a year, I'd get my money back anyway, so I'm good. I'll put it in at home.
Yeah, exactly. But so the point to that is if he just drives around town, that car gets like 400 miles. So on a full charge.
So if he
charges it every night, then he would never need to really charge it anyplace else.
See, that's me. that's what I'd be thinking.
But those charging stations are for people like Apple phone people that, like, I don't know. I mean, you date somebody, they have an Apple phone. For some reason, it's always running out of charge, like at the most inopportune time. Like, and they don't have a charger with them. So that's why those charging stations are all over the place. It Sprouts and Jimbo's and you know.
Yeah, but cars are getting better mileage on them things. Because remember the old cars, they didn't get that. They didn't get nearly the 400-mile range, you know what I mean? So when you bought the first electric ones, you got a lot more range. But and this is another thing.
Well, here you go. Therefore, more public chargers are required. In the U.S., owners of EVs in areas like the suburbs, 80 to 90% of their charging is done at home on their vehicle. So it would just be if, like, let's say you had a very busy day and you were running all over the place. You drove 300 miles around town, which would be a lot. I mean, that's a lot of driving, right? Uh-huh. But or something like that, and it started to run low, and you had to stop at Sprouts to pick up dinner on the way home, and you looked at your thing, and you're like, the charge is really low. It may be a good idea to just plug it in and get a 20-minute charge on her while you're inside grocery shopping.
You know where I see those machines being used the most like that? Because, I mean, obviously, I live in North County and Fallbrook, so when I get off, there's like a mobile gas station there, and behind the mobile gas station, there's like a park and ride. Well, they have them electric chargers. I always see people there charging their cars, and they must be like in between Temecula and stuff like that, and they're running out of charge. They got to pull over, and them electric things right there in that park and ride are always full.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of, and that's another thing.
Are you sure they're all using the charging station or just parking?
No, I can see the cables because they got them right up against. So, like, I don't normally go the 395 that way since they opened up Mission or the 76. I mean, to four lanes. But if I go that way, they got them lined up, like, right by the street. And you can see the cords all plugged into the cars and stuff.
Gotcha. So, Maryland County wants charging stations added to all new homes that are built. Interesting. Which will be like an appliance. You get a convection microwave and an EV charging station in your house. GM's partner with Evigo, Evigo.
You're saying I can heat up a sandwich while I'm going on the road?
Mm-hmm. And more businesses continue to add EV charging stations. And I actually was contacted by a company. We will probably put one at the Escondido location in the parking lot there because that company reached out and they put them in at no charge. They make the money then off of the charging.
It's for your customers. That's convenience for your customer then. Correct. So that's why you're sticking in there.
Correct. So all good. All right.
And I guess it helps too if you're working on the electric car and it runs out of charge. You got a charging station right there too, right?
Exactly. That's the truth. All right. Let's go to Ken real quick if we can. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What you got going on?
Yeah. Okay. I'm a client of yours. I go to one in Kearny Mesa, okay? I have three vehicles, and I have all my, you know, maintenance done there, and I'm very satisfied, okay? I have a silly question. how long does, I mean, how long is the shelf life of oil, motor oil? An open one, you know, I have a, let me see, 99 Ford Van and Ford Econoline, and they use a 530. And if I want to add, you know, if the oil gets low, I want to add, you know, or maybe one bottle or something like that. Then, but I had the old oil sitting on the shelf for maybe a couple years on the shelf. Can I use that to, you know, add to my, you know, vehicle?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oil, like in quart settings, doesn't really have a...
As long as it's got a sealed cap on it, so it doesn't collect moisture.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't collect moisture, that's correct. So if it's sealed in the quart bottles, as far as that goes, no worries.
Oh, okay. I just was wondering. Some, you know, a lot of stuff have a, you know, expiration date, so I was wondering, has the... any expiration date or not. That's why I called you.
Ken, that's actually a great question, and you want to know something? All these years doing this, I've never had anybody ask me that question. That is and that's highly unusual to get a first when it comes to automotive stuff. So great question. Thanks for listening. A great call, because as you're telling me, I'm sitting here thinking like, yeah, nobody's ever asked me that. That's a great question.
That's good.
There you go.
That's all I want to know. I called several times before, so I listen to you all the time, okay?
Well, thanks for doing so. We appreciate it. You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Okay, thank you very much. Same to you.
You got bye it. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. That is a great question.
Well, yeah,
I've never had anybody ask that question.
Well, because when you think about it, the whole reason they tell you to... Well, I don't know exactly how they... Because back in the day, they say 3,000 miles or 3 months. Because the reason is, even like people that store their motorcycles for the winter... Sitting in the crankcase, it'll absorb moisture.
Correct.
But that's, in a sealed bottle,
yeah,
it won't.
Yeah, correct. Any sealed container. I mean, it didn't even in the old Quaker State style cans that were, remember, made out of
metal and fiber. And, you know,
they,
it was cardboard.
They were cardboard, but they were lined with like a...
aluminum or whatever.
No, the inside was
was
like a paraffin.
Okay.
No, a paraffin. So it didn't leak out.
Yeah,
like wax. And then the tops were metal, and the bottom was metal. So, and then you chunk, put the little thing in with the spout, remember?
I remember those.
That was the 70s, man. 50s, 60s, 70s.
They're like the croissant or the biscuit rolls. You know, it had that same paper and the metal.
Yeah, only you don't pop them. That'd be terrible. You get oil all over the place. That's a terrible
idea. Except in the movies when they popped them, then, you know, like a tractor truck rolled over and there was oil everywhere.
Exactly. So one of those things, you know, but great question for sure, without question. So, all right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888. Just like Ken, if you have a question, boy, I love the ones that I've never heard before. And truly, I've never had anybody ask me about shelf life oil. But Kevin makes a great statement to that. As long as it's not open and sealed, it's not absorbing moisture, and it's, you know, then it's good to go. So good stuff. All right, folks, give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. You listen to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right. All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. We appreciate you joining us here. 1-888-344-1170. It's 888-344-1170. Do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission. Taking care of folks up in North County for almost 30 years coming up here in August. 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified for smog. Once again, almost 30 years up there. Wow. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson in El Cajon, taking care of folks out there in East County, AAA approved for 9 years. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in Central San Diego, AAA approved and smog certified. Taking care of folks over there for, we're finishing up. We just finished up 5 years. So doing good there. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, AAA approved and STAR certified. Taking care of folks right here in the Golden Triangle for 3 years now. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Well, I would agree with you on that, but I'm starting to agree with you even when I'm not having fun, time's taking off. So
it flies all the time. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. We're here to help you at all four locations. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit with us. We have a couple different arms, helps you out. 6 months no interest. And we're running a promotion right now that if you get one of our cards through Synchrony, that there's a little mail-in thing, and I believe they send you a $100 gift card. So really, I just saw it come through. Brenda, my admin assistant, was pushing it out to the managers yesterday. So I do believe that if you sign up for that and you use it, then they'll give you the gift card.
Woohoo.
They send you, well, hey, man, $100 bucks is $100.
Dude. To me, a dollar is a dollar.
That's true. So stop in and take advantage of that or our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. You think you're having a transmission problem, get in and let us diagnose it. We see all too many vehicles that are sold repairs or repairs are done that do not fix the vehicle. Let's get it diagnosed properly by the West Automotive Group professionals, and we'll get it fixed properly. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home, along with low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations. You can go to West Automotive Group and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, where we push out different little tweets and cool things about cars and stuff like that every week. That's westautomotivegroup.com. And just click on the Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram link, and it'll take you right there, and you can sign up and follow us. You can also see what we're all about, make appointments from there, etc. A very interactive website, so check it out, westautomotivegroup.com. Give one of our locations a call or make an appointment and get in, and we're here to help you. You can also click on the Auto Man segments, where I'm the Auto Man for the CW every Friday morning and Friday evening, and also for Fox 5 News and Wednesday mid-morning news. So check it out. Go to westautomotivegroup.com. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. But this morning, give us a call, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive-related we can talk to you about here. That's what we're here for. Anyway, let's grab Paul real quick. Good morning, Paul.
Morning.
How are you doing, sir?
All right. Yeah, I've called before a couple of years ago about my Honda.
Mm-hmm. What you got going on?
Covered wagon.
Mm-hmm.
But I've used Costco fuel for several years.
Okay.
Now I still have the Honda, but I'm driving a newer Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
2003 on the Subaru and 1993 on the Honda. Cord wagon, which was just made for a couple different years.
Correct.
Using Costco fuel, is that?
There's a lot of people that do.
Choice?
I got to be honest with you. All fuel's refined from a couple places. The only difference is the additives requested in the fuel by the company that pumps it. So, in other words, Chevron and Shell, they all have different additives that they require in their mixture. So, mm-hmm. and that's what makes the quality of their fuel, to be honest with you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So as far as that goes. So,
Costco is...
I don't know what Costco has put in their fuel. They don't do commercials about it. So, I don't, you know, as far as that goes. It's if you're asking me, is it okay for your vehicle? Sure, it's okay for your vehicle. You may want to consider, depending on what, how much driving you do, an induction service once a year, which helps remove carbon because all fuels being burned create carbon. As far as that goes, especially with your newer vehicle, and which can cause pre-detonation and other problems over time, the buildup. I'm not going to tell you that Costco fuel is terrible for your vehicle.
Good. Yeah.
But I will tell you some of the other places like Chevron and that, and I'm not an advocate for any gas station, but some of the additives are good for your vehicle. There's no question. It do help reduce carbon buildup in items like that.
Or pinging.
Yeah, correct. So, yeah.
When I lived up north in Santa Cruz County, as a younger person with my family, I would listen to the San Francisco Giants and have them, they'd be advertising standard Chevron dealers and standard stations.
Yep.
That was kind of fun listening to baseball up there.
Yep. Good stuff. But yeah, no, I don't think you're going to have a problem with the fuel for your cars.
Lon Simmons and Russ Hodges. It was.
The old days up there, huh?
Fun days.
Yep.
My grandfather would come from New York and stay a couple times.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, Paul, thanks
he had a couple baseballs signed by a bunch of old guys.
Very cool. That's some cool stuff. Well, hopefully you guys still got that stuff in the family, because that's some old nostalgic stuff there.
Yes.
Very cool. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Paul's gone.
I guess Paul's gone. Okay. That happens.
I this is the thing. I don't think Costco is probably a bad fuel. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't worry so much about Costco, because Costco, I think, keeps their stuff clean, their tanks clean and all that stuff. The ones I worry about are, like, if you go to, a gas station that, a no name, they don't take care of their tanks. There's probably water in the tank. There's probably dirt in the tanks.
Correct. And stations like, I'm sure Costco does, but stations like Chevron and Shell, they have requirements for all of their tanking. And that when it has to be upgraded, maintenance, et cetera. So, yes, you get dirty tanks.
That's what scares me.
Yeah, that's me too. Or water and fuel.
Yeah, because they're not doing the maintenance on the tanks.
Correct. Or you end up someplace that is like out and, doesn't move a lot of fuel, then they get a higher moisture content in their tanks, which can end up with rust in the tanks, things like that. So there's all kinds of things that can happen.
And this is why I'd rather pay the extra money to go to Chevron or Shell, because normally they maintenance their stuff. I don't have to worry about water getting to my fuel.
I get better additives. Fuel, though,
I do. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in the area, that's the thing. I don't use Chevron normally because there's no Chevron near my house.
Exactly.
I do have a Shell station there, so I tend to use that. And honestly, I live in Fallbrook, so there's not even a Costco there. But if I'm in Escondido, I'll hit Costco.
Gotcha.
Because I know Costco keeps up on their stuff. They maintenance, and you know what I mean?
They have standard quality on their stuff for sure. That's good point, without question. Good point. Let's see. Let's grab Rick real quick. Good morning, Rick. Let's see. Yeah, my call screener thing's not working. I can't click on it. It's locked. So I don't know why, but it's not allowing me to grab it. So
technical difficulties.
There you are. Are you there, Rick?
Hello.
Hey, Rick. There you are. Yes. How are you doing this morning?
So far, so good. I had to call in a couple times because I got cut off. I guess it must be something in the lines there. I've got a question with the antifreeze.
Absolutely.
I got two different cars, and they both need a different type of antifreeze. I'd like to know if the antifreeze that says it was good for all makes and models is okay to mix with these other antifreezes.
Not a good idea. What type of vehicles do you have? Let's start down that road first.
I got a Ford Fusion and a
Ford
Focus.
What year?
2010.
They're both 2010?
No, the Fusion is a 2010. The Focus is a 2018.
2018. Okay. So actually, those two take different types of Ford coolant, most likely.
Right.
Yeah. So no, because some, unless they're both high oat, but they're not. There's two different types of coolant for that vehicle because the spread of age. I know. So the best thing is we use OEM coolants in those vehicles. Because mixing them's not good with other stuff, and there is no true coolant that is actually can be used across all these brands, so it's just not a great idea.
If I next time when I flush out the coolant, is it okay to put in the one that fits all, or to stick with the OEM brand?
I would stick with the OEM brand. That the stuff that's in specific coolants is made to run with those vehicles for reasons such as to prevent metal failures, eating into the aluminums, the head gaskets, the composite type they have in there, things like that. So that car was built to run with that and engineered to run with that. So you start putting a coolant with different additives in, over time you can have things happen such as, you know, erosion of the aluminum head or head gaskets, things like that. I would stay away from it.
So kind of curious, why would they say that one replaces all and it just is a sales gimmick?
I think that coolant, they focus more on it blending with the other antifreeze than it actually being an antifreeze, though.
Correct.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. The way they have it made up is that Kevin's right, that it can blend with other. Because when you flush a system out, you also are never going to get all the coolant out of it. So,
oh, no. Heck no.
So that's why you're always – and that's why we always stay with the OEM. You're just better with the additives and the protection they have in that coolant that they designed for that vehicle to protect your vehicle. So, I mean, in a pinch, if you had to add to it and all you had was that all because you were having a problem, sure, that's fine. But I would, after not too long, get that flushed out as soon as you could and get that leak fixed and get the right coolant put back in her.
Yeah, it doesn't use much antifreeze at all. I'm just wanting to know if that was possible. Well, thanks for your information.
No problem at all, and thanks for listening, Rick. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter, yeah. Thank you. Bye. So that's another really good question as far as it goes.
Yes, it is. And I think they make that coolant more for if you don't know what's in there, you put that in there, it won't. Because if you mix regular antifreeze and like the Dexcool, mm-hmm. it'll turn into like this black slime crap. And then it just, you know what I mean? It destroys the whole cooling system.
Of course. Well, yeah, it can. And it can get really nasty.
So if I'm on the side of the, you know, and I have to stop by an auto parts store real quick and I don't know what's in my car, I grab that stuff. And then later on, have somebody flush it out, you know, because I don't think it really works so much in like, because coolant works for a couple reasons, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, keeping the car cool, stable, you know, it keeps it from overheating, you know, then the stuff.
Several
it keeps
things,
it,
yeah.
Keeps it from freezing. It keeps it, I mean, there's lots of reasons that coolant, they just focus on other things when they put this kind of coolant together so that it'll blend with other antifreezes is what they do.
It's adaptable.
Yes.
Correct.
And it is good for its function in the moment.
It is, for sure. Yeah, so if a car was very low on coolant, that coolant's better than no coolant. There's no question
yes.
about it.
And at least you didn't destroy the cooling system because you weren't really sure what was supposed to be in there. And then you get it to your tech and have him, you know, put the right coolant back in it and, you know, a couple weeks later or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Totally. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Get on the line here with us at Auto Talk Radio, and we're happy to talk to you about anything automotive related. We're going to take our last break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM. Right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. We appreciate y'all joining us this morning. 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. Hope everybody had a good Friday. on this
awesome
week,
Friday.
On this week, it means two things. It was actually Good Friday, and I hope you had a good Friday.
Both.
I was listening to the news, and they were asking people if they actually knew what the Good Friday was about.
They don't know.
No, there's a bunch of people like, is it Good Friday? I don't know. Like, so.
Yeah.
But it's also funny, like, they... I don't know. I've seen them on college campuses where they're asking questions about things like history and stuff like that.
They don't know history.
No, when was this country founded?
They don't know.
No. I mean, and all of us going to like 1776, you know, that's when we, you know.
Look, I don't believe you should, you don't have to dive into history so much that you're an expert, but you need to know a little history because otherwise politicians will repeat history on you.
Well, I'm just saying. A lot of people will repeat things on you.
Well, I know, but you get what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to know about where you live. I would say that. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Honestly, so. In this day and age.
And you might not want to know a little bit about history and things like what we have holidays for and stuff like that. You know, and I'm not a super religious person, but I know about these things. Why? Because it's just smart to know about why we have holidays and things like that and different stuff.
Honestly, I don't care whether you believe or not believe. That part of the world. It does dominate a part of the world, so I mean you should know it. It's a big part of history.
It is a big part of history, and it's also like I said, and same thing goes for other things such as Memorial Day and Labor Day, and
yep.
and you know the 4th of July.
Okay, best shit. Memorial Day weekend, me and Rob were out in Camp Pendleton. I had an officer tell me this was his day. But me and Rob about fell on the ground like, dude, this is you're alive. This is not your day. We're looking out for all the people that have been fallen.
We're paying remembrance.
Yes. Then I'm like, how are you going to even... So even them guys don't know.
Some people... Well, I don't know who them guys are, but I mean...
I'm not going to mention no names. That's why I'm saying them guys.
Some person.
Yes.
But there's plenty of people that do know and understand. So
I'm just telling you, there's people in places that should know that don't know.
Veterans Day is for all of us that served that are still here. Yeah. So... You know, we're all veterans and also ones that are gone too. But I mean, anyway, that was just my point. You should know a little bit about history. So we're going to move on from there. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other battery at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. They are the highest quality, number one worldwide technician recommended battery. That's why we stock and sell them. If you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com. Make an appointment, get in. We'll install an Interstate for you. If you need a battery for any other need, and let me tell you, they have batteries for everything. Check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. Highest quality out there, no question about it. So, talking about service and different things, looks like real quick we have... Alan here on the line. Good morning, Alan. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Doing good. Interesting discussion. I want to make a comment about gasoline. I'm down here in the South Bay in Chula Vista, and some of the stations converted and called themselves San Diego Gasoline. And I think one of them for sure was Union 76. So
gotcha.
when they converted over, they reduced their prices pretty drastically. And one evening, the tanker truck driver was in there refilling their tanks. So I stopped in and asked him, and he said that gas that they're getting is a Valero brand gasoline.
Gotcha.
Level at. So I don't know what Costco is using. It'd be interesting to find out.
Costco and Valero and a lot of them are about the same.
That's what I was thinking too.
They're and same AMPM, same idea. Same. I think they're about the same. I think what they take is the blend that the comes straight from the I lost it. Where do they make gasoline at, Kevin?
Alaska.
I was gonna say I was gonna say distillery, but I'm thinking about having a drink tonight. So yes, the refinery. So the refinery makes bulk gasoline like that, right? And then they add chemicals such as Tecron and stuff like that to it by who orders it. So I think it's probably a lot of that Costco, AMPM, Valero. It's a lot of the same mix, to be honest with you, if I had to guess, because I don't think they request other additives as far as that goes. So I would call it the standard gasoline mix is probably what you're getting there.
Right. And it all comes, well, like the tank farm down in Mission Valley by the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of it comes in. It's a single pipeline. Everybody gets the same gasoline. And then at the tank farm, they actually add the additives.
Correct.
And back, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago, they just didn't have the technology for injecting that additive in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a funny story. One of the guys in the business told me that they used to have a drum available, and that the tank truck driver would add it in with a ladle as it's going into his truck.
That's that I'm sure that was really, really worked out well.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Right. Anyway, now they have automatic injection.
Correct.
As the fuel's going in, so it's changed quite a bit.
It's a very specific amount, kind of like mixing paint, right? You know, to get the right color, they put in this, they put in that. So it's a very specific formula that they use for doing it. You're right, and they inject it in. So yeah, the point that I was getting is, you're right. And almost all the fuel in San Diego is distributed out of that Mission Valley fuel farm. That's right across from where Qualcomm Stadium used to be. And they do inject it with those. But I do know this, like Costco can't order a load of Chevron fuel with all their chemicals in it, because those additive chemicals are specific to Chevron. They've developed them and designed them. That's why it is what it is. So same thing with Shell and their additives and so on and so on. So, but yeah, that's a good point. And so basically most of those are, like you said, I don't think that Valero, AMPM, or Costco have any specific additives that they request on top of their fuel delivery. Now, I could be wrong. Somebody might call and tell me. But as far as I know, they pretty much are running kind of the same blend. So the only thing that can affect the quality of fuel you get then is, like Kevin said, the quality of the tanks that they put it in at that station.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I would think, though, that they would have the pump dispenser business, they have screens in there to screen out sediment.
They do, yeah.
But I wonder if it doesn't screen out water or prevent water from going through, because the water would probably settle to the bottom and the fuel would be on top. So you'd have to draw the fuel off of the top of the float level.
Correct.
So how do you know where the water level is? That's really a question that
There's not supposed to be any water in fuel tanks.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not supposed to be. So I don't have an answer for you on that. And I think that they control it a lot. And I think, like Kevin said, is the maintenance on those tanks and things like that. If they're getting water in one, then they're going to replace the tank. Because if it's somebody like Chevron or Shell or somebody keeping an eye on this stuff, because you just don't, I mean, that can mess up a lot of engines. You don't want to be picking up water and sediment. Yep. I don't think they micron that fuel down, or do they have water separators that the fuel pumps through on the way to the gas pump? I don't think that actually exists as far as that. I'm sure there's a screening process that it goes through, but I don't know how small a micron it takes it down to. So if you have a dirty tank and some reason it gets stirred up and the sediment's floating up into the fuel and it gets sucked up through there, I think you're probably going to end up with some of that in your tank of your vehicle.
Yeah. The newer tank installations at stations are much improved. They use what they call a double wall tank.
Correct.
And there's a compartment in between. And they really developed it for leakage in the tanks. So if the tank starts to leak for some reason, then it goes down into this chamber underneath, and they have detectors that can detect leakage.
Correct. And I don't know about all other states, but the state of California, even all our above-ground tanks that hold bulk oil, like at our service centers, have to be double-walled. You can't have any single-walled tanks. So, and especially for waste oil. Everything has to be double walled in case the tank leaks, that there's a secondary barrier to hold it, prevent it from leaking out. And that's above ground. So I'm sure, yes, they're very particular with what they put in ground. And I don't know anybody that has like waste oil tanks. Like our old shop we were at had one, remember? And they cleaned it and filled it with concrete to get rid of it, because they didn't want to have to be dealing with that thing. You don't want to own an oil tank in the ground in this state. I can guarantee you that, unless it's like a fuel tank and those guys are well regulated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Excuse me, about your previous discussion about moisture in motor oil.
Uh huh.
In normal operation of an engine, as the engine heats up, wouldn't that kind of boil off the in other words, the moisture that's in there would heat up to the operating engine temperature and then be sucked out by the evaporative system, you know, the recovery system?
PCV, yeah.
Right.
Which runs it back through.
Unless it sits for a long time and then it absorbs a lot of moisture. There's just too much moisture in there that it'll destroy the engine before.
Well, it, actually what happens is too much moisture starts to break down the oil if it sits a lot. So like a car sits for an extended period of time and it's absorbing moisture in it. It's not so much that the moisture doesn't go away when it gets warm, but it already has started to break down the oil is what happens with it. So along with all the other items that are picked up, obviously, you know, combustion process, the acidic level from blow-by gases and the metal particles all picked up, you know, during the operation of an engine is what dirty engine oil. So, but yeah, too much moisture causes oil to start to break down. So, but yes, you are right. Once you warm it up, you know, the actual moisture content goes away, but some of the damage to the oil over time with a lot of moisture has been done already.
So what's the best solution then for a car that sits quite a bit that doesn't get driven a lot?
Change the oil if you run a full synthetic every 6 months on the vehicle.
Are the synthetics better than a regular straight motor
oil?
Yeah,
they break down less, not as quickly, and have a longer life form. So, yes.
Okay, that's great.
Yep.
Hey, one last comment about your discussion about electric vehicles.
Yep.
I think the way I look at it, you have to look at it like there are a certain number of hoses at every station, and you have to equate that to the number of charging stations or cables available to tie cars in. But then the other factor is it takes you, what, 2 or 3 minutes to fill up your tank at a normal gas station?
Yeah, I was just thinking that when you said that. I was like, it takes a lot longer to charge up an electric vehicle.
Yeah, and I mean, people just can't plan their lives around going and shopping at Macy's and plugging into a charging station and having it available for someone else at a certain length of time. They're just going to shop for 3 or 4 hours and then come back and pull their car off.
Correct.
So it's like electric vehicles just are not very practical. It's a decision that's been made by politicians for political reasons.
I agree with you.
And
there is one place they're practical, without question.
Convenience.
If you live in a busy city like San Diego and you have a charging station in your house and you drive less than 300 miles a day, then you really never need to charge that car anyplace else. And that could be convenient. I mean, for people, there's one doctor we service his vehicles. He has a Tesla. He's an emergency room doctor. And he said, I love this Tesla for going to work and that. And he says, also, I never have to stop for fuel. I come home, I plug the thing in. And if I get a call in the middle of the night, I never have to worry like, hey, did I fill the car up with fuel? I just unplug and off the emergency room I go, you know, or whatever he does, you know. It that makes sense for certain people, but you're right. If you're not going to have a charging station at home and you have to, it's going to become very inconvenient. You know, at some time you're going to be stuck somewhere where you got to charge the vehicle and they may not be any charging stations available when you got to do that if you don't have one at home. So, I think that's the only reason, you know, that I could see it useful is if you charge it at home. You drove it every day, and then you just charge it back up when you get home, and you never have to worry about it. So,
right. And it's kind of a pie-in-the-sky thing to think about, but there has to be an alternative storage system, whatever it would be, rather than liquid gasoline or electric batteries as we know it today.
Mm-hmm.
Like something like that thing in the movie Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That fusion generator.
But they
you just roll your banana peels and everything in there, and you're getting instant energy, you know. It's like, and you know, by old-time technology, that's possible because we used to think in terms of cars back in the 40s and 50s and what they are now. So it's just going to be a matter of time, maybe beyond our lifetimes, before we have something that practical.
Technology will continue to evolve. I fully agree with you on that, Alan, without question. So we'll see what the next thing brings. I'm by no means an innovator as far as it goes. I love fixing things, and I fix things that are already made, but I'm definitely not an innovator. But I think, like you, that the electric cars aren't the end of the of where we're going. That's for sure. There's going to be something else. I agree.
Right. Hey, thanks. It's interesting listening to your show.
Thanks. I appreciate you joining in. You bring up some good questions, so good stuff. Thanks for calling, and you have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Thank you, too, Brian.
Take care. Bye.
Hey, I just want to reiterate on one thing, because when they were talking about the moisture in the tank, that's why, like, automotive, you know, all the lines come from the top of the tank, and the tube goes all the way to the bottom of the tank.
What are you talking about?
We always draw full fuel from the bottom of the tank, because if there any little moisture gets in that tank, it at least gets sucked
into... Oh, you mean like in a gas tank in a car?
Yeah. It gets sucked out of the... That way you're burning...
But not the actual... There's also a space off the bottom of the tank that we stay away from because of sediment. Also,
I know that, so. But if we're drawing off of it like that all the time, at least we're pulling it out in little mounts rather than...
Large amounts.
Because if it was over time and kept getting moisture in there, you're going to get... I mean, it's going to become more and more water
over
time.
You're talking about a fuel tank, not engine oil, though. Well,
and I don't know how they regulate their tanks at the places. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how they draw off those, so I don't know how they get rid of the moisture in them.
Well, I guarantee you they don't draw from the top. That would be very tough to do. You'd have to keep lowering the suction all the time.
Yeah, but there's reasons people do. You know what? I don't know what the technical side of that is, so I don't know...
I think they're very careful with those tanks. As we know, dirty fuel is not that common anymore.
I think they're very careful, too. That's why I don't know their procedure. For whatever reasons, engineers set up things so that it gets the moisture out. I mean, they do it for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think they control the environment of it, for sure, without question. All right, let's grab Carol real quick. Carol's got a question. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, guys. I listen to you every Saturday morning. Love your program.
Well, thank you.
What I have is a strange question, but I have a 1999 Buick Regal. I've had it for 21 years. It's an awesome car, 215,000 miles. However, my gas is costing me about $150 a month or more. I just had $240 because I went up to Big Bear. And I just pop around town normally. So I'm thinking the car wouldn't sell for hardly anything. And if I went to buy another car, let's say a 2 or 3 year old car, and looked at car payments, which I've never had, would that offset this $150 minimum a month that I'm paying for gas?
Well, that's a good question. And the thing is, the price on cars is up right now, because they're harder to get. The price on fuel's up right now. So what I think we need to do is fix this, or lower the fuel cost, and then also let's lower the cost of cars back to where they were.
I don't know
how to do that. So we're going to deal with what you got going on. Carol, that you have to pencil this out. You are 100% correct. Some things you do have to add, though. If you're going to get rid of your vehicle and you're going to buy a newer vehicle, which will get better gas mileage, your cost of insurance is going to go up for sure. Okay.
Oh, never thought of that.
Yeah, you got to add that in. So, you know, each case is different, you know, so it depends on how much you drive. How much did you say you're spending a week on fuel right now?
Well, I pay per month about $140, $150, and I just pop around town. I don't really go far places. Even if I was going to go real far, like Las Vegas or whatever, I wouldn't even drive my car. I'd probably get another way. I do go up to, like, Big Bear or Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Local areas, but pay this last bill. I tell you what, it's $240, and that's only for 3 weeks.
Okay, here's a thought. So if you're going to go a distance, you know, just driving around town, you might spend, you don't put a whole lot of miles if you just stay in town, right, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, but it's costing me $150 a month.
Okay, did that include the Big Bear trip or no?
No, the Big Bear trip, that's what I just got that bill, and it's for 3 weeks, $240.
Yeah. So you spend an extra $90 basically going to Big Bear.
More left, yeah.
Yeah, going to Big Bear and back. So the other part that you always think about this is, $150 a month isn't a whole lot of money, considering the fact that if you go buy, I mean, even if you're going to buy a car and have payments on, you're going to have a minimum of probably $400 a month just for the car payment. Then you got the insurance is going to go up probably a couple $100.
Registration.
A month more. The registration goes up.
And
all those things. So right now, I realize the fuel bill is kind of gut-wrenching, but you're probably financially sitting in the best spot you could be versus buying a new car and all that. if that makes sense.
Well, I wouldn't buy new. I mean, when I bought this car, it was like 2 years old. I usually buy a 2 years old car, the 2 or 3 year old. So I don't know what cars cost. And I wouldn't mind getting a two door. I have a four door and I only need a little two door. But I must admit, I'm used to luxury.
Yeah, I understand. And that's an option for sure. But finding a good used car right now is not a great option either. Cars are tough to come by. So I would probably sit tight for now till some things come down to car wise. If you decide you want to do that and it's time to exchange, then it's not a bad thing to do, you know. But
okay,
you
well,
just got to decide.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate your insight on it, and enjoy your program a lot.
Thank you so much for listening and calling in, and you have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Both of you, too.
Thank you.
Happy Bye-bye. Easter.
Happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody out there, happy Easter to you. We appreciate you all joining us. They're going to make us get off the line here in just a couple minutes.
They don't want to hear us no more?
No, not today. They don't. I want you to keep the rubber side down and shiny side up. Tune in next week. We are talking EVs all week next week. That's what we're going to do. I decided we're going to write a show about that. We've got a bunch of stuff we want to discuss. So make sure and tune in. Thanks for listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer 1170 San Diego and 96.1 FM. Until next Saturday, everybody be safe. Have a happy Easter weekend.
Bye.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
Getting your vehicle serviced and repaired is likely the last thing on everyone's list, unless it's an emergency. Hi, it's Brian, the host of Auto Talk Radio and the Auto Man for the CW San Diego and Fox 5 News. I'm also the founder of the West Automotive Group, where our philosophy is never put money ahead of people. Your time is valuable, so we provide free shuttle rides home or to work, or a low-cost rental vehicle while your vehicle is being serviced and repaired. We have 4 convenient San Diego locations to serve you in Escondido, El Cajon, Kearny Mesa, and now Miramar UTC. We only hire ASE certified master technicians to ensure your vehicle is repaired with quality and care. We back every repair with some of the longest nationwide warranties. Experience the West Automotive Group difference, where you'll learn what quality service is all about. To become an extended part of our family, stop by today and take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. Whether your personal or fleet vehicle needs service or repair, visit westautomotivegroup.com to book your appointment today. That's westautomotivegroup.com.